pleasure to be here with all of you, for those of you who regularly attend, and for visitors alike. I am Charles Moore. This morning, I'm preaching to you on I'm Happy Today, right? The reasons why I am happy and why we should all be happy that we are here. As we go throughout this, if you're wondering, am I the person who's normally up here doing this? The answer is no, right? If you were not here for the 9 a.m. Worship with Brother Danny Simmons when he was preaching on authority and why we do what we do and where we get the authority from that, you missed out, and I encourage you to go to our website and check out that and come back next Sunday so that you can hear Brother Danny speak. What I want to look at today, what society says makes them happy, right? What people acknowledge make them happy about, and what the Bible says we have to be happy for. So what the Bible looks at, or what people look at today, right? People look to many different things to find happiness, and they say, this is what makes me happy, doing these things, do that, right? And for some of them, it is what God gave us. It is nature, right? They go out and they love to explore nature, and they go on these great trips, and we've seen lots of these things, and if you go and you look in all of the great places that you can see, and you go to the Discovery Channel, and you say, this is great, this thing, I love these nature things, or you go out and you explore nature like some of us do, you see all of these great things that are out there that God has made for us, and we love to enjoy those things, but they only take a look at nature for saying, I see this and I've been here, and they don't actually look in a little bit deeper and see what God has actually done for it and how God made that. And so their happiness in nature, while it is there, is not true. Other things that we see, right, that are more common that make us happy, right? Sports, movies, other forms of entertainment, right? Sports make us happy. When our team wins, man, we are super excited. I love when my teams win, right? Never more happy when that happens. Well, kind of, right? But we have people that have that attitude. And so when you go out and you're seeing all of these people that are out there that are celebrating these things, or they're celebrating a new movie that came out, or the next celebration that they go to, the next festival, right? Here in Austin, we have many festivals that are both music and entertainment oriented, right? Some of the largest in the country where people come here, and people go to these things because they make them happy. And then the last thing, right? Jobs, personal achievement, right? Personal accomplishment, things that you've done. Something that you can look to and you can point to other people and you can say, I am happy because I know that I made that, right? And, you know, some people do find happiness in their job, even if that job is not readily recognizable. Whenever you look and you see someone that goes and they're working at like a volunteer organization, or they're helping out the homeless or the needy, these things, they have happiness in them, but they may not actually be following the truth, right? And there are other forms of happiness that I didn't list in there, but I listed the main three things, and I actually have some other things that I'm going to go through that, right? But the first thing I want to look at is I want to look at what we believe as Christians that make us happy, right? And for that, and Ron didn't know this whenever he was in John this morning, but all of everything that I have, the scripture, is going to come from John, not necessarily the Gospel of John, because I chose several of his books to use. But John is going to be our author for this morning on what it is that should make us happy. And for that, let's go ahead and turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so here we have the Gospel of John. When John is writing and telling everybody the gospel, the good news of Jesus, he says the beginning was the Word, right? The beginning was the Word. That means that the Word was God, the Word was with God. So what we have in front of us, written for us today, was in the beginning. And right there through verse 5, darkness has not overcome it, right? Darkness is, you know, God is light. Everything that is not God is darkness, right? So darkness has not overcome God. So darkness has not overcome the Word. And then let's go ahead and go to 1 John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4 and see what he has to say here. Again, And I actually picked up this verse when I was actually talking to one of my friends. He had said, what's a good book for me to study? Because I need to go and I need to do this, and I need to know what book should I study? And I said, have you started with 1 John? Because in 1 John, just in the first chapter, he talks of everything that it is that we need to do. So let's look and see what John had to say here. 1 John chapter 1. That was which from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was manifest, and we have seen it, to testify it, to proclaim you the eternal life, which was the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen we have and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that to you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that to our joy may be complete. And so here John is saying, if you look and you correlate the two passages that we just read, in the beginning was the Word. So from the beginning, we have heard, right? So from the beginning, mankind has been told, this is how you get to salvation, right? We have touched it. We have seen it. We have seen these things with our hands. And so John is saying he can testify to these things, right? We believe that John was able to actually do all of the things that he wrote here. And for that, right, we have fellowship with John and with Jesus, right, the Son, and God the Father. And so we're going through all of these things, right? We're writing these so that our joy may be complete, right? So that our happiness is complete, so that you know you are welcome to come with us, right? Everyone is welcome. You just need to read and follow. And so let's go to 3 John chapter 1. Behold, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is faithful to you that you in all your efforts for the brothers and the strangers, as they are, who testified to your love before the church, you do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that they may be fellow workers for the truth. Here, John is saying, you know, in his letter, that he is accepting, or he's hearing these great things from the people that he has testified to, that have been converted, that are part of the way. That he is getting word back from them that they are faithful, right? They are doing these things. And whenever you go and you look at the brothers and men that we have supported, that we have brought back here, you know, from last week when we saw Brother Thomas here, Bessie's son, what the work that he's doing and his family is doing over in Samoa, other works that we've seen, right? Whenever you read the bulletin boards in the back, the works of the preachers that we support from both here in the States and abroad, the works that we see coming from them, we have reason to be joyful, just as John was joyful here. Because we've heard those good works that are coming from them, and we know that those who we are supporting are doing the work of the church. Similar to what Brother Danny had talked about this morning, right? When we talk about what we support as a church and what we do not, right? We are supporting these men and their work in bringing the word of God to others. And then lastly, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 1. John, to the seven churches of Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and was and is to come, from the seven spirits who are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail and account on him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and was and is to come, the Almighty. Here in John's revelation, and what he says, and if you were able to partake of the last class we had on Revelation, you got to see the in-depth look that we went through in this book and what John was seeing. And John was seeing a vision of heaven here. And so John has seen what it is that we have to look forward to. And here in his testimony to us, he's saying, this is what we have to see. This is what we have to look forward to. So when we say these things will come to pass, we know that John has seen it, that God has foretold it, that this is what will happen, and it is what we believe. So for these reasons, we have to be happy, because we come here, we celebrate every week the death of the Savior, right? We remember that, and we go forward, and we go out to the world, and we preach that as well, right? And we broaden others in. We know that we do that because we have seen that from members of our congregation who have been able to bring others in and see that. And we saw that within the past 2 months. We've seen those people that have been brought in actually be converted and be baptized and are continually with us preaching the word. But let's look and see what some of those things are from nature, or from the world that they see, and what it is that they say makes them happy. This picture is from the Yungas Road in Bolivia. Right? The Yungas Road starts at about 15,000 feet in altitude and goes to about 4,000 feet in altitude at the end point in it. Right? It is 35 miles long. It is a lovely dirt road, right? It was named the world's most dangerous road after having an average of 300 deaths per year over a 10-year period. Right? Mostly now, it is for mountain bikers and thrill seekers, right? To give you an idea of exactly how this road works, right, I've given you another picture because the first picture kind of shows it to you, but just so you know, this road was a two-lane road, right? I did, at one point in time, have the opportunity to take this bike ride, right? There were no vehicles on it at the time, and so I was really thankful for that, and I'm sure my mom is too, right? But this road is a dirt road that winds along the mountainside from the bottom of the Amazon to the top of the mountains. And in this road, you see many amazing things, right? From passing through the cloud field into the open air of the Amazon, right? The only thing on this road that is man-made is what was carved out so that goods could be taken from the bottom to the top and the top to the bottom. There really wasn't a whole lot of man touching to this, right? Which is also what caused it to be such a dangerous road and why they had to build another road around it. Now, the road is still, again, open, and so you could go to it if you were really excited, right? This road, right, a lot of people will go to throughout the year. It averages about 10,000 visitors per year just to go up and down the hill, mostly down. I don't blame it. This is the Burj Khalifa, right? It's in Dubai, the United Arab Emirates. This building is the world's tallest structure, right? Man-made. From it, right, construction began in 2004. It was open for business in 2010, and it stands 2,722 feet tall at the tip, right? There's only about 1,500 feet of actual viewing space. But if you go all the way to the top of the spire, right, it's 2,722 feet tall. Why was that done? Well, there's 163 floors, 57 elevators, right? Most importantly, it was built to diversify Dubai and gain international attention. It was built so that people could come in, right? And the architect and everybody else that put their name on it, they're proud of it, right? They know these things. They built it specifically for that reason. Not so that the top 1,000 feet could be used, but so that it could be known as the world's tallest structure. We have some other structures that are in the United States that may be slightly recognizable. Right? AT&T Stadium in Arlington. Right? This one started construction at a similar time, right? 2005. It opened in 2009. Right? The cost was $1.3 billion. Right? And has an estimated seating capacity of 105,000 people. That's 105,000 happy people that can come in and watch any sporting event, right? it had two original nicknames, right? Jerry World, right? And the other one, Cowboys Cathedral, right? They're celebrating this as if it were a religion, which, as we know, some people do, right? But these are things that people say make me happy, right? But let's look at some of the things that God has created. All of these do happen to be from the Amazon, right? So I have this lovely picture of some frogs, right? There's another frog. And our toucan. His name is Sam. All right. Okay. All the rest of these, right, are animals that were known to the jungle, right, into the Amazon, right? This is what it is that God has made, right? And all of these things will have the same result, right? What will happen to all of these things, right? Let's go to 1 John chapter 5 and 18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on shining, but who was born of God protects him, and the evil does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the powerful power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and the eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And so here at the end of 1 John, John is speaking to us and saying, we know what is truth. We were born into truth, right? We all have fallen from that. And then those of us who are called out, right? We have come in, we have been baptized, right? We know these things. We have come to this understanding, and that is what we have done today, right? We're coming here so that we can celebrate those things, so that we can exalt and edify the name of God here. And lastly, right, that last part, little children, keep yourselves from idols, right? Everything that we saw on those slides before that were all man-made structures or man-made events, right, things that we could do, those can all be idols, right? Even if it's not the idol that you normally see, right? We can all celebrate those things. So what is it that makes us happy, right? It is the Word of God. So let's go to John chapter 8 and starting in verse 49. John answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Right? And this is Jesus, as he is testifying in here, right, saying, I am powerful. I have this authority. You have dishonored me, right? But even Jesus wasn't seeking to glorify and edify himself among men, right? As we must also not do, right? So what it is that we're looking for, right? We're looking for those things to make us happy that will make God happy. And so let's go to John chapter 15 and verse 18. If the world hates you, know that the world has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will also keep yours. Jesus is telling us that as Christians, as part of this, this will happen to us. It may not happen every day. It may happen more often in some places than others. But these things will happen, right? We must live in the world, but not be of the world. And finally, let's go to John chapter 18, beginning in verse 35. This is Jesus before Pilate. Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord, or do others say it about me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world. Right? So Jesus is telling Pilate here in his confession before he is sent to be crucified that his kingdom is not of this world. So whenever we follow his word, whenever we do these things, we have a kingdom that is not of this world. And this is a reason that I am happy today. Right? And so for the next thing that we're going to do, we're actually going to sing the really fun song, I'm Happy Today. I did a little bit of research, right? And unfortunately, this song is not in our songbook. And nobody had any other words to it, right? So as best we can, let's go through and sing, I'm Happy Today. I'm happy today, oh yes, I'm happy today, in Jesus Christ I'm happy today, because he's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm happy today. I'm singing today, oh yes, I'm singing today, in Jesus Christ I'm singing today, because he's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm singing today. I'm praying today, oh yes, I'm praying today, in Jesus Christ I'm praying today, because he's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm praying today. I'm living today, oh yes, I'm living today, in Jesus Christ I'm living today, because he's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm having today. I'm happy today, oh yes, I'm singing today, in Jesus Christ I'm praying today, because he's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm sharing my faith. There are two versions of that song. The last one I did change the line on because it does say I'm living today on some of them. I changed it to sharing faith because sharing faith is why I'm happy today. I'm happy that I get to stand before you and share this word, right? I hope that you are happy whenever you go out into the world and you share it with others. Because I have heard, I have believed, and I have followed the word, and I know what I am with. Do you want to be happy today? Do you have anything that we can help you with as a congregation? Do you need to come forward? Do you need to be baptized? Do you need to have sins forgiven? If you do, we encourage you to do so as we stand and sing.